Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to week three of the fantasy football season. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock. How are your fantasy teams doing? Are you 2-0? Are you 0-2? Are you 1-1? Davis, a mixed bag, no doubt. The waiver wire has been hot now going on 2 weeks. We've seen a ton of injuries all over the place. Kind of unprecedented. I hate to start the show like this, but my gosh, like I'm looking at my teams. I'm wondering, do I have anybody that I can play this week?
Yeah, I mean, look, Deontay Johnson is on the IR. Nick Chubb is on the IR. Anthony Richardson has a concussion. Some even guys who are maybe going to play this weekend are going to be playing in a hampered fashion. We know that Joe Burrow has the calf injury. Like, it really feels like if you're sitting here in week two, I mean, even if you're 0-2, 1-1 doesn't matter. If you're like, I don't have any lineup decisions. All my guys are healthy. All my guys are practicing. None of my guys are you know, complaining about a leg injury, an ankle injury. You're feeling pretty good at that point. And it does feel a little bit more chaotic than last year. I feel like we probably do this every year to some extent. We're like, oh my God, I can't believe everyone is injured. But it does feel like the injury bug really has started to bite our fantasy football teams already this season.
Yeah, I mean, imagine having Nick Chubb at the start of the fantasy season. You're feeling real good watching that game earlier this week. Not feeling good, without a doubt. Let's get to our top stories here. Cam Akers involved in a trade, so he's out of a Rams uniform and into a Vikings uniform. I'll get Davis's thoughts on that. Trayvon Diggs out for the season, potentially, after a torn ACL. Kendre Miller will play for the Saints this week. We know Alvin Kamara's coming back soon. And then Thursday night, the Giants... Boy, they just look awful at the start of the season. They lose to the 49ers 30-12. But let's talk about the trade. Cam Akers goes to the Vikings. Davis, naturally, I would guess he's probably inactive or maybe doesn't play. But the Vikings have just not, I guess, liked what they've seen out of Alexander Mattison. Can Akers still be startable, you think, at some point this season?
Yeah, I mean, Madison has been horrible. He's got no explosive runs this year. He is one of the worst running backs in the NFL in rushing yards above expectation, meaning that he's got no rush yards above expectation. So that has been all bad for the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, my gut instinct for this season was that Ty Chandler was going to end up getting a crack in that backfield. Looks like now that they also looked at Ty Chandler and they said, you know, we don't really think that Ty Chandler is the guy either. Things got so bad, Craig, in that game against the Philadelphia Eagles that fullback CJ Ham was playing there on third down. So my guess, you're probably right. I do think Cam Akers will likely not play this weekend, you know, a later trip. Maybe he'll be active as the third guy, maybe just because they really don't like Myles Gaskin, who's been active as the third running back for them. And maybe he gets a couple carries here and there. Obviously won't be trusted in pass protection, but it's definitely a vote of no confidence in Alexander Mattison. If you did take Alexander Mattison in the fifth round of your draft or whatever, I mean, look, you didn't get it from Fantasy Sports Today. We did not tell you to do that. In fact, we told you to do the opposite of that. But if you did, you know, cut bait. I mean, obviously don't cut him. Maybe try and trade him if you're in a league that allows trading. But, like, it's he's not a guy you want to start. Don't think Mattison is going to be a guy who delivers you fantasy football championships at this stage.
And a couple of quarterback injuries we should get to here. Anthony Richardson on Friday didn't practice again. Davis, it looks like Gardner Minshew going to start for the Colts. Joe Burrow, very questionable as well going into Monday night. In fact, Cincinnati signed another quarterback. So here we are in these two quarterback leagues. And, you know, Cincinnati's situation seems really dire, by the way, without Burrow. I mean, you know, Richardson, we didn't even know if he would start at the beginning of the season. He actually looked pretty good. And Gardner Minshew, not a huge downgrade, I think, initially, but two other situations to monitor over the weekend also.
Well, it's definitely a downgrade for the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, they were looking like they could maybe even win. You know, just like they looked better. I'm not really a Minshew guy. I am an Anthony Richardson guy, but I think it is probably an upgrade if you have Michael Pittman Jr. I think it probably is an upgrade. I like Josh Downs as a sneaky start DFS guy. We're going to talk about him a little bit later in the show. But if Joe Burrow is either hampered or unable to play in that that primetime game for the Cincinnati Bengals, I mean, one, you start your season 0-3 in the AFC, Craig, it's over. I mean, it already might be over for the Cincinnati Bengals. It might already just be a lost season for them. You're 0-2. You've looked like crap. You know, Mixon looks terrible. Jamar Chase can't get going. Joe Burrow is hobbling around there in the pocket. I guess the saving grace for them is that the Bills did lose already and the Chiefs did lose already. So maybe you can say, like, okay, you know, let's figure it out now. The Bills and the Chiefs are gigantic favorites and are probably not going to lose this weekend. 0-3, it's completely over. And honestly, 0-3, Joe Burrow has a calf injury. I mean, what are they going to do? Is Joe Burrow going to gut out the rest of this season? You know, because then you're not, okay, if you draft Joe Burrow, fine, whatever, you can move on to another quarterback. But if you drafted Jamar Chase with the second pick in your draft, T. Higgins in the second round, and Jake Browning or Trevor Siemian is the Bengals quarterback for the rest of the season, I mean, you're toast. You are not getting anything out of those picks. Those guys are going to sink you. And that's pretty, and we've seen teams already do this year, be cautious with the IR. Cooper Kupp probably didn't need an IR stint. Deontay Johnson probably didn't need an IR stint, but these teams are just like, what's the point? You know, let's not risk the re-injury.
Right.
So I think you got to be worried with any Bengals player.
Yeah, real quick, let's go to the one game that's already in the books. If you started Christian McCaffrey, which everybody who has him did, he got off to a really good start. San Francisco put a 30 spot on the Giants. They had a player undrafted in every fantasy league, Davis, score a touchdown. And for the Giants, you know, more of the same. They've had one good quarter out of 12 this season, but, you know, less of an indictment on the Giants, probably. They are who we thought they were. The 49ers, Davis, are exceptional.
The Giants absolutely stink. They look like, I mean, even in the NFC where we thought maybe 9 wins could get you into a playoff spot, they ain't getting that. I mean, they might be the worst team in that division. The Commanders might even be better than them at this stage. And they are, you know, locked into 0-4 in that division. The Giants are not beating the Cowboys. The Giants are not beating the Eagles. So just take those four games off the radar entirely. The 49ers, though, I think it was a pretty popular, I mean, I said this, that the AFC had all the best teams in football, right? You got the Chiefs, you got the Bills, you got the Bengals. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Chargers, we thought the Jets were going to be good. The three best teams might just all be NFC teams. It might just be the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the 49ers. Those might be the best teams in the NFL. Can't really say enough about the 49ers. I do think, Craig, they still have that fundamental problem, which is you're down 10 points on the road in the NFC Conference Championship, and you got Brock Purdy. You know, it's like it all works so good up until a point, and then at the end of the day, your quarterback has to create something else.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Side of himself, and I do. They still have that fundamental problem.
Maybe they never get to that problem, but they look like the most dominant team thus far early on in the NFL. They've also played the most games. All right, coming up next is time to go get or forget. We'll retouch on Cam Akers and the trade that was made there. Issues with, of course, the Detroit Lions and their running back situation and a whole lot more. We're off and running here on this edition of Fantasy Sports Today. It's week 3. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, and we're back right after this. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As the waiver wire runs for most of you in fantasy football, we're probably telling you something that you already know. But there are some players that are still potentially out there in fantasy leagues to talk about. And Davis and I are going to go through and run and see if any of these players are still out there in your league or maybe even worth startable. But Davis, the first player let's revisit is Cam Akers on the Rams. What a bizarre career he has had with the Rams, looking so good as a rookie, then getting hurt, then looking like he was going to be traded, then playing well again, then looking like he was going to get traded again. And indeed, it happened this time. They got nothing for him, which tells you all you need to know. But I guess the question is, can he revitalize his career in Minnesota? This is a huge indictment on the running backs that are there. The Vikings are 0-2. I don't know how much playing time he'll get this week, and he's probably owned in most leagues. So as we talked about, probably not going to cut him. I guess let's revisit the idea, best case scenario of Cam Akers rest of the season.
Okay, best case scenario for Cam Akers is he comes in, they ask him to be the primary early down rusher, he gets the goal line work, basically just because the team says Alexander Mattison's not the guy. Mattison can go back to being the guy that he was for the entirety of Dalvin Cook's career, which was a really solid second running back and a guy that if Dalvin Cook had to miss a couple games here and there because he had that nagging shoulder injury for the entirety of his career, that he could start and he wouldn't absolutely kill you. My sort of interpretation of what has happened with Cam Akers over the year is that either he's got to be not that pleasant to deal with interpersonally, or he just doesn't practice that hard. Because it doesn't really, like what you said, it doesn't really make any sense that a guy who's mostly fine in the games, like when the Rams have had to play him for whatever reason, because other guys have gotten hurt or just whatever it was, he's mostly been fine. I mean, at the end of the year, last season, the last four games of 2023 or 2022, he was, I believe, the running back 7 in fantasy points. There were multiple games where he played over 90% of the snaps for the Rams. But also, Craig, we did this last year before the trade deadline. They made him a healthy scratch, and they said, we're either waiving you or cutting you. Then they changed their minds. Right. Just an extremely weird career for him. I don't really get it. But again, my guess would be, he just is not that good of a guy to have in the locker room.
Yeah, it makes sense there. And the Vikings, of course, will give him some shot. Can't cut him in a fantasy league. All right, let's go to Seattle's running back situation. Davis, this was like the most stable running back team in the NFL for a decade. They had this guy, I'm sure you remember, Sean Alexander. He was amazing. He's like a potential Hall of Famer. He was like the number one or number two pick in fantasy drafts. And then he was gone. And toward the end of their career, boom, in comes Marshawn Lynch. Now Lynch is the guy for a long period of time. Davis, since then, how many running backs has Seattle run through under Pete Carroll? And he's a one running back guy. I think I got like 15 I could probably name. Zach Charbonnet, let's do it with him. 55% owned in Yahoo leagues, 45% in ESPN leagues. It's a running back carousel in Seattle, and I guess it's like the hot hand situation. Whoever does get hot probably takes over for Carroll.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you need to roster him in any 12-team format. Zach Charbonnet needs to be rostered. In fact, this might even be kind of a good spot to go and trade for him. I don't think that the dynamic is all that dissimilar than the dynamic that existed last year between Kenneth Walker and Rashad Penny. Walker has had quite a hot start to the year. Charbonnet has been fine. I mean, he really has barely played. He's played 25% of the offensive snaps through two games. The big issue for both Walker and Charbonnet right now is that DJ Dallas is still playing a little bit. He has got 3 rush attempts and 1 target, but he's eating up the snaps because he is a good pass blocker. He's played 16% of the offensive snaps. You gotta send DJ Dallas' snaps to 0. 2-man backfield. Maybe 60% of the snaps for Walker, 40% for Charbonnet. They don't really like Walker in pass protection. They don't really like to throw Walker the ball all that much. I think Charbonnet is one of the best pure handcuffs in fantasy football because I think he's pretty strong. Like, I think he would be good with the opportunity, but I don't foresee this being a situation where he is more talented than Kenneth Walker and forces Walker to the bench via, you know, playing really well. Like, that job is Walker's as long as he is healthy.
All right, now the job is Raheem Mostert's in Miami, and he has looked fantastic. That offensive line, Davis, has played much better than anybody would have thought. And so looking ahead, Raheem Mostert, as good as he has been, he has never been able to stay healthy over the course of the season, and his buddy in the backfield, Jeff Wilson, is on the IR. So Devin Achain, I mean, he is the next man up. I don't know that there's a ton of confidence in him, though, Davis. I know that he was inactive and, you know, certainly trying to work his way back into the mix, but if something again was to happen to Raheem Mostert and Achain got that chance, I mean, this could be, we talk about league winners, I mean, this could be that kind of guy. But again, he could also not play for 15 weeks. That's a dynamic here.
Yeah, I mean, was a healthy scratch in week 1. He was active in week 2. I sort of thought that was going to be like, okay, Achain is active. Let's get him the ball in space. Let's throw him the ball. Let's have like 3 plays we have designed ready to get the ball into his hands. That is not what ended up happening. In fact, I think he probably would not have ended up playing in that game at all on Sunday night against the Patriots if Savon Ahmed had not gotten injured in the game. But now Ahmed's injured, Wilson's injured, not eligible to return until week 5. You've got Raheem Mostert. How many touches do you really want to be giving Raheem Mostert? I mean, do you want to be giving Raheem Mostert? Like, he got all the work in that game against the Patriots. But again, Craig, as you mentioned, guy has literally never stayed healthy for an entire season. He was Raheem Mostert. This is true. He was a track runner in college. That's how he got recruited. That's how he ended up on the football team. So I wonder if they maybe try and keep Mostert's touches more like 15 to 18 and they start working in Achain for like 5 to 8 a game. But you're right. A Mostert injury happens and there's no one left in this backfield. Waddle is in the concussion protocol. We'll see if he's eligible to play on Sunday. You know, we don't have that knowledge right now. I think Achain, of all these guys we're about to talk about at the running back position, he would be the one I would say you most need to go get because he's either someone either already got frustrated and dropped him or they would trade him to you for absolute peanuts. But I see a very high ceiling from Devin Achain if things break correctly for him.
And just stash him on the bench for now. And the Lions going into the season had Craig Reynolds stashed on the bench. They drafted a running back and they signed a running back, Davis, in the offseason. That meant nothing. David Montgomery already down for at least a couple of weeks. In comes Craig Reynolds yet again, a player that we've seen Dan Campbell actually like and use quite a bit. He was not really added in a ton of fantasy leagues this week because I guess it's like, would you actually start him and take the chance? But this week will be a pretty good indication as to whether or not he would be startable for you, I think, next week, not this week.
Yeah, I'm going to say forget Craig Reynolds, mostly because of what you said. It's just really hard for me to envision a scenario where you're actually feeling comfortable starting him. I also just don't think, like, let's even say Jahmyr Gibbs gets injured, that backfield is still going to end up being, you know, a little bit of a mess. Like, I don't really foresee a scenario where Craig Reynolds is getting a crazy amount of touches. In fact, if I was going to add someone from this backfield, I would actually probably add Zonovan Knight, who came over from the New York Jets. I think that he actually, I actually feel very strongly that he will be active this week. And I would not surprise me if in early down situations, if they're actually using Knight as the rusher instead of Reynolds. But the, I mean, we're obviously burying the lead here, which is that it's week three, David Montgomery's injured. Jahmyr Gibbs saw 9 targets last week. Like, if you drafted Jahmyr Gibbs and you were feeling a little bit shaky or nervous after week one, you do not need to feel shaky or nervous. Like, Gibbs, I mean, Gibbs has also looked great. You know, we've seen a lot of rookie running backs have the pathway open for them and then do nothing with it. But Gibbs has looked phenomenal. And their receivers are banged up. You know, Jameson Williams is not eligible to come back until week 6. Josh Reynolds has been limited in practice. Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to play with a steel plate in his shoe to protect his toe. So, like, it's all there for Jahmyr Gibbs right now.
All right, real quick, let's go to the Green Bay Packers because their wide receiver situation definitely is a work in progress too. Jaden Reed, we talked about him, Davis, in the preseason as a possibility of getting some targets and some touchdowns. We're seeing a little tick up here. 17% of rosters owned. Is Jaden Reed someone to pick up right now?
It's a huge mess there in Green Bay. They're just rotating all these guys. Like, no wide receivers playing more than 60% of the snaps. Christian Watson, I mean, I guess maybe will return.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. This show's supposed to be fun. This segment's a little depressing because we're going to go over start or sit options that if we were talking about this 3 weeks ago, these players would never even get discussed. I mean, this is a nightmare here in fantasy football. You drafted these players. You're like, I could put them in my lineup every week. They're going to be great. And it has not been the case. But again, still very early in the fantasy season. These guys could be fantastic the rest of the way. So, Davis, let's start off with the make or break week incoming for the Los Angeles Chargers at the Minnesota Vikings. Make or break for the Vikings, too, in terms of their season. But I think more pressure on the side of the Chargers. You know, Keenan Allen looked good last week. How about Mike Williams on the Los Angeles Chargers? You know, certainly a player when healthy has always been great. The Chargers out of the gate, doing enough to stay in the games, not enough to win. Can't even believe we're having this discussion, but Mike Williams, start or sit this week.
Yeah, I'm not a big Mike Williams guy in general, but you are for sure starting him this week. It's the highest total game of week three, the Los Angeles Chargers against the Minnesota Vikings. Two Swiss cheese defenses, two quarterbacks who are, you know, I mean, we can debate the merits of can you win a Super Bowl with Justin Herbert or Kirk Cousins? I think probably no, but it would surprise me if this game, you know, went under the total. It would surprise me if this game was not one of the two or three highest scoring games of the weekend. And Mike Williams has not lost any routes or any targets to Quentin Johnston, who they selected in the first round of the NFL draft, but apparently are not that interested in playing because they're running their third string tight end more routes per game than Quentin Johnston. So We'll see what ends up happening there. But right now, no one is threatening Mike Williams in this offense. Bad week one, much better week two against the Tennessee Titans. I think you are starting Mike Williams this week.
And you know, Quentin Johnston, very interesting name too. The fact I saw him cut in every, you know, all these 12-team fantasy leagues, and maybe too soon. We will see there. All right, the Buccaneers are 2-0, Davis. It's a little bit of paper. We know that. One of the wins was against the Bears. You know, Chris Godwin, you know, I got to feel like he, of all the players we're going to discuss, like I think you still have to do whatever it is and put him in the starting lineup. I know Mike Evans has done well thus far. There's going to be a Godwin week. I don't think you can afford to sit him, can you?
No, you definitely can't. And I actually think if you did draft Chris Godwin, you might even feel a little bit better than you thought you did. Like even, you know, irregardless of the numbers that he's put up, which have been pretty Chris Godwin-esque, you know, 10 receptions for 109 yards through two games. That, I mean, is that really that different than what you were getting from Chris Godwin last year when Tom Brady was the quarterback? He had 104 receptions and 1,000 yards and only 3 touchdowns. But my guy Baker, I mean, is Baker Mayfield going to win the MVP? Are the Buccaneers going to win the division? Are they going to be a playoff team? Like, no, probably not. But Baker has certainly been better than the Desmond Ridder, level, you know, just total trash. Everyone on the offense is not startable. You can't start the running back. You can't start the wide receivers. Like, Baker is doing enough to keep everyone on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers out of fantasy football Siberia. And I really think that's all you can ask from him. And Godwin, you want to write up a game script for him. It's trailing, you know, 18 points the entire game against the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Eagles defense, by the way, with 9 new starters on defense, I mean, they do not really look all that good. They gave up that huge passing game to Kirk Cousins and to Mac Jones, like Mac Jones' best career game against the New England or against the Philadelphia Eagles in the second half.
Yeah, no, I agree. And listen, the script is probably coming in fantasy. The reality for the Bucs is I don't think they're going 17-0. Not sure. Okay, now to the Denver Broncos, Davis. Boy, talk about depressing. 2 home games, 0-2 start. 2 teams they could have beaten, too. Russell Wilson just looked okay, like, in the first halves, and then nothing in the second halves. Jerry Jeudy made it back quicker than people thought. But this offense, Davis, is like so hit or miss. I mean, Sean Payton, I don't know what direction Denver's going to go, but Davis, you don't get that opportunity very often to go against 2 subpar teams in the first 2 weeks and lose both games.
No, and the Commanders' loss has got to be viewed as far worse than the loss against the Raiders in week 1. Like, Jimmy, the Raiders were terrible last week against the Bills, but Jimmy just, like, at least played okay. I don't even really know if you could say the Commanders played all that well. You know, they just sort of outlasted the Broncos in that game. I think ultimately I would land on this being a start spot for Jerry Jeudy because the routes were there. The targets will come. Cortland Sutton was, like, really not involved in that game at all until the fourth quarter. I believe he had 0 receptions until the fourth quarter. I'm not really a huge Jerry Jeudy guy in general, but if you drafted him, I mean, there's no getting out from underneath it right now. You know, I mean, no one's trading for Jerry Jeudy right now. No one looked at the Broncos the first 2 weeks and was like, you know who I really want on my fantasy football team? I really want Jerry Jeudy on my fantasy football team. And Marvin Mims only ran 6 routes last week, 2 receptions, 113 yards, and a touchdown. Yeah. Marvin Mims is breathing down the neck of Jerry Jeudy as well, and that will probably come sooner rather than later. So start Jerry Jeudy before it becomes a real headache, I think.
Yeah, no, Mims is the one this week that has looked really good, and you're starting to see some pickups for him as well. All right, Houston has, at least last week, they had their opportunity to let the Damian Pierce show begin. And boy, it just didn't happen. So this is 2 weeks in a row, Davis. I know he's going to need the right game script to be viable in fantasy football, but I would suppose you probably don't have other options if you have him. But it's like, how do you look at these 12 carries, 30 yards or 40 yards? And, you know, he's like so touchdown dependent at this point.
He is. And any thought that we had about, okay, he'll be playing on passing downs, he will get all the goal line work, like, that's not even happening. I mean, we're 2 games into the season. He has not played over 48% of the snaps in either game. And are things going to look any different for the Texans this week? No, or most weeks. I mean, most weeks, the Texans are going to be down about 100 points in every single game, it feels like. The defense is terrible. Stroud is doing his best. They can't really run. The line is not playing all that well. Really, for a guy like Damian Pierce to get there, he's got to do what James Conner has been doing for the Cardinals, which is, like, basically never leaving the field, 5 targets a week. It's not happening. Now, again, I've got Damian Pierce on 1 team, and I luckily also drafted Jerome Ford on that team, and I'm just going to start Ford over him this week. But if I didn't, I'd be looking at my bench, and I'd be like, Damian Pierce or, like, Rashad Bateman as, like, a flex play, you know? And then you're like, literally at that point, like, who knows? Like, I don't have the answer to that question. Anyone who thinks they 100% know the answer to that question is wrong. I would lean sit on Damian Pierce, honestly, which bums me out because I do think he's really good.
Yeah, he's starting on my team right now. I haven't gotten much out of him. Okay, we talked a ton about the tight end position at the beginning of the season. I know Kyle Pitts was a guy that you were very high on going into the year. And listen, he played for the Gators, so I'm high on him too. He just doesn't get the ball. So I don't know what to say. Now, he's tight end 28 thus far, which tells you how bad tight end is. If Kyle Pitts just catches a touchdown, he's going to be like in the top 15 this week. But Davis, like, why did they draft Kyle Pitts? I'm not sure.
I don't get it. It's crazy. I mean, I don't really get why they drafted Drake London either. I mean, Drake London saw 7 targets last week, but like 2 of them were on the first drive of the game because they knew he had a bad attitude about literally having 0 catches in the first game of the season. Kyle Pitts, this week, I actually think he's like a pretty easy start. Most weeks, it's not going to be that case, but they're on the road against the Lions as 3.5-point dogs. It's actually a spot where I'd be relatively surprised to see Desmond Ridder throw fewer than like 28 passes this week. Kyle Pitts ran 92% of the routes last week. I know Jonnu Smith had the 4 for 40. I'm not actually worried. Like, Jonnu and Kyle Pitts play different positions. They might as well literally be listed as something different. It's not overlapping there. Kyle Pitts, the most frustrating thing about Kyle Pitts is that nothing you see from him, you're not watching him play and being like, oh, he stinks. You know, it's not, it doesn't feel like a skill issue. It's literally just the team that happened to draft him. And it does. It's like, if this was what you were going to do, why buy the Lamborghini if all you're going to do is drive to go get 2% milk with the Lamborghini, Arthur Smith? It just doesn't, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, no, he doesn't seem to be involved in the offense. Let's close out with Tyler Higbee on the Rams. They, you know, clearly are trying to figure their way out. I mean, Puka's been the guy for them. I would assume that's going to slow down at some point, or else he's going to end up being Cooper Kupp this year. I mean, if you have Higbee, can you start him?
No, you can't start him at all. He is, not only can you not start him, I mean, if you drafted him as like the 12th or 13th tight end, just cut him. Just get it over with now, because it's not getting any better. Puka and Tutu are the guys who are getting all the volume right now. Higbee is a total afterthought. Kyren Williams has more targets. And what, you think it's going to get better when Cooper Kupp returns? You think there's going to be room in that offense for Tyler Higbee when you've got like the greatest rookie wide receiver in NFL history, Cooper Kupp, and then Atwell running the deep routes? Like, it's not happening. Like, Higbee, anytime Higbee's ever been good for fantasy football, it's almost been like an accident. It's just been, he's the only guy left standing there. It's not happening. I mean, Hunter Henry, Mike Gesicki, the freaking backup tight end on the Patriots, as more targets this year than Tyler Higbee does. And there are, I mean, Jake Ferguson, like, there are so many guys at tight end who it's like, I think that guy has a better chance of catching 4 passes or catching a touchdown than Tyler Higbee. So I think it's adios to Tyler Higbee.
We have 30 seconds, but someone watching us right now, Davis, is asking if they can throw something at the TV over Darren Waller's performance. Someone's asking the question what to do. I mean, I don't know. I guess you got to play him, but it's been so bad.
I don't really know. I don't really know what you do. I mean, it really, it's not even his fault. It's just the Giants. The Giants are so bad, there's nothing for him to do.
Yeah. All right, we got some DFS plays coming up for the weekend to give you on DraftKings. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Getting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. Now, this week is an important week in daily fantasy for those who you play, because the dynamic could potentially change Sunday, 12:30 Eastern time, based on the weather. So, Davis, we're going to go through the pricing here and some of the players. There's a lot of low totals on the board this week, anticipating a storm, or at least some bad weather coming in on the northeast coast. So that has to be factored into the lineups, because as we've seen in the past, I mean, Davis, some of these bad weather games produce like no points whatsoever. So just something to keep in mind as we go through it today.
Oh, it's absolutely. I mean, that's gotta be at the top of your mind. By the way, it's going to be something that bothers us all year long in fantasy football, I believe, because 2023, an El Nino year. It's going to be bad. I think we're going to see a lot of pretty chaotic weather. Obviously, you know, I wish kind of every stadium was a dome game, but particularly a lot of those. And you know, we really won't know until Sunday. And rain in and of itself generally is not that bad. It's rain and wind that ends up, you know, really impacting the totals. And that will sort of be unknowable until we get to Sunday, but for sure something to monitor.
Yeah, so just keep an eye on that as we go along. And you know, Joe Pizzapi and Matt Stryker will have the latest on that as well. All right, let's take a look at the quarterback pricing over on DraftKings. Lamar Jackson, 7,700 going into the week with a good matchup. Speaking of which, Justin Herbert, my gosh, the Chargers need a win so bad. 7,500 on DraftKings. And then, my goodness, Justin Fields. What a week for him, Davis, after the week last week. 7,100. And, you know, what are the Bears going to do with Justin Fields here? Like, I feel like what you're doing here is smart by listing him here. Because I don't know, this is my take on Justin Fields, and then we can go to the other guys. My take on Justin Fields, Davis, and I don't know if you think the same way, this is it. I don't think that you're going to play him ever again if he doesn't have a good week this week, because after everything that happened with the coaching, and he says that, you know, it sounds like he just wants to freelance, do his own thing. If that happens this week in a game they're supposed to get crushed against the Chiefs, and he does well fantasy-wise, you got him back on the fantasy map. If not, I think it's a wrap, Davis. I don't think you could play him again.
I'm totally with you. That is why he's on this list. I'm using a little bit of imagination here, which is basically that I think Justin Fields sort of knows that this is a key week. I mean, everything going on with the Bears organization is so nuts. We've got, you know, the defensive coordinator resigning. The left tackle goes on IR. We've got, you know, the guys. There was that clip that came out of the guys mic'd up and the defensive player, DJ Moore's old teammate, said, "Oh, man, they're not using you right." And DJ Moore's like, "Yeah, I know," which is like, it's just all crazy. So my imagination tells me this, that the Bears have no chance of winning here. I mean, the Bears are drawing dead. They're 0% to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. But if you're playing without pressure, you take the handcuffs off. I mean, Justin Fields has two designed runs through two games, which is like just inexcusable. You got to get him out of the pocket. You got to get him running, because I really like Justin Fields coming in. I don't think it's going to work out. I don't think Justin Fields is going to be a capable NFL level passer at this stage. I'd love to be wrong, because the NFL is good when there are more good quarterbacks. But I do think Fields is probably the best rusher at the quarterback position other than Anthony Richardson. Richardson is clearly the best running quarterback in the NFL right now. I mean, he's just too big and too fast for anyone, although he does keep getting injured, which is not really all that great for Anthony Richardson. Probably not going to play this weekend. So Fields, very low owned, you know, 3-4%, something like that, going back in on him. Herbert is going to be very owned this weekend, probably the most owned quarterback on DraftKings, I would imagine. Pricing him there with his teammates, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. You can play Josh Kelly with him. You can bring back the Vikings players, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson with him. And then Lamar, I mean, the explosion game is coming for Lamar. Now, he might end up being hampered. You know, the Ravens might be so good, and the weather could be such a case, and the running backs are all dinged up. Like, it's, again, we're two games into the Ravens season. It feels like everyone's injured already. Feels like we do that with them every single year. But as long as Lamar, I mean, I played Lamar last weekend in some of the high stakes stuff on DraftKings, and he was 3% owned. Mark Andrews was 3% owned. I think it's going to be the same range again this week. And I know Lamar can do it. I know Lamar can score 40 points. So I'm going to be going back to the well with him this year or this week.
All right. At running back, let's take a look at some of the options here. And boy, one sticks out more than the others. But Tony Pollard of Dallas, the Cowboys off to a tremendous start. 8,000 on DraftKings. Travis Etienne of the Jacksonville Jaguars, 6,900. Jahmyr Gibbs, you would think that this could be a huge week for him at 6,600. And my gosh, no adjustment here, Davis. This is the one that sticks out for Jerome Ford. I have no idea what he's going to do, but at 4,800, a starting running back in the National Football League, this feels too low.
Yep, it does. So the way that the pricing algorithm works on these sites is they're done on Sunday night so that they can be out. Everyone can look at it. Everyone who does content, you know, they do shows like ours, all everything. So if an injury happens on Monday night or even sometimes in a Sunday night game, there's no price adjustment. There's no time to react. They can't go in and readjust the salary. So there's been a lot of conversation about how good the Tennessee Titans have been against running backs. Jamal Williams failed in week one. Josh Kelly failed. You know, all these value running backs failing against the Titans. I'm going against the grain just a little bit here because obviously a $4,800 starting running back is going to get some attention. You're not going to slip that by everyone that you're playing against on DraftKings. But I think Ford is like relatively talented. You know, I don't think he's Nick Chubb. I don't think he's that good. I'm not really that worried about Kareem Hunt. Hunt should be active and play here a little bit. But I do sort of like Jerome Ford, so I'm going to be buying on him in this spot. Tony Pollard, I mean, if Christian McCaffrey didn't exist, we'd be talking about Tony Pollard needing to be the number one overall pick in fantasy football drafts. He leads the NFL in expected points. 33 touches for Tony Pollard last week against the New York Jets. Never really thought I would see a game where Tony Pollard got over 30 touches, but the Cowboys, they know what they have. Pollard is one of the best running backs in the NFL. He's got another cake matchup this week against the Arizona Cardinals, feeling extremely good about him. Really the same deal for ETN against the Houston Texans. Jaguars going to have a lead the entire game. Tank Bigsby, after how bad he played in week one, received no touches last week. Really would not surprise me to see ETN get any goal line carry at running back for the Jaguars this week. That's like the one thing missing from his profile. He catches passes. He has explosive runs. The 26-yard touchdown run in week one to ice that game against the Colts. I'm a huge fan of his. I love him this week. And my flag plant play of the week is definitely Jahmyr Gibbs. Projects to be 9-10% owned on DraftKings. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is phenomenal. I think he should probably see the second most targets in the Lions offense in any given week. I like this game for DFS. It's in a dome, right? We don't have to worry about the weather. We don't have to worry about the wind or the rain. I always like that. I think Gibbs can get to 20 points without a touchdown. And if you were Dan Campbell and the Lions coaching staff, would you really want to give Craig Reynolds the goal line touches over Jahmyr Gibbs? Like that just feels... and maybe they'll do it because coaches do things like that, but that just feels silly to me.
Yeah, I mean, Jamal Williams got them all last year and not Swift, so you never know with Dan Campbell. All right, wide receiver. Dolphins, of course, having some wide receiver issues this week, so Tyreek Hill looks to be a plug and play. He's healthy, 9,000. Keenan Allen with a nice week last week for the Chargers, 7,600. And then we're going down to the bottom of the board here, Davis. Josh Downs on the Indianapolis Colts, 3,500 on DraftKings, and then Tank Dell, who actually looked really good, I thought last week. He had one touchdown called back and then ended up getting another one too. 3,600 for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, definitely need some value options this week because there are some expensive guys we want to play. Pollard, ETN, Justin Jefferson is 9,300. Tyreek, I think, is in a pretty uniquely good spot here because I do think more players will opt to play Justin Jefferson than Tyreek. They have like a sort of, I mean, maybe it's more difficult on paper, this matchup against the Denver Broncos. Patrick Surtain, you know, I mean, people know who he is. He's he is really good. He did a great job against Davante Adams in week one. I sort of feel like no guy in the NFL can really handle Tyreek Hill. Like, no one's fast enough. No one is twitchy. I mean, that's the right word. Tyreek is just like the twitchiest guy in the NFL. You can't really stay in front of him. You don't want him to get behind you. It's just a mess. Tyreek, and especially if Waddle doesn't play, I mean, I don't know, 15 targets for Tyreek Hill. Mike McDaniel is so smart in how he draws up plays and getting his guys open. So I feel extremely good about Tyreek. Opted to go with Keenan Allen here just to really focus on that Chargers-Minnesota Vikings game. It will be so popular. I mean, I think we'll probably have five guys from that game, more than 15% owned in tournaments on DraftKings, which you don't really see all that often. Maybe Keenan actually doesn't end up being that popular because Jefferson is the clear option. Addison is the value option. He's significantly more expensive than Mike Williams. Then you also have the cheap guys, KJ Osborne, the Chargers tight ends, Josh Palmer. So I think Keenan maybe gets a little bit forgotten about, but we do need the cheap guys. Tank Dell. I mean, Tank Dell will probably be the most owned guy on DraftKings this weekend. He saw 10 targets last week. He looked awesome. He was so productive in college. I mean, if you're unfamiliar with Tank Dell, go look at his stats at the University of Houston. 3,000 yards and 32 touchdowns in three seasons there. He was like the entire offense his final season, his junior year at the University of Houston. And, you know, Craig, in years past, guys like this, these really small guys, we would have just totally written them off. But the NFL really is changing. These small wide receivers, these 170-pound guys, I mean, it's kind of an answer to what defenses have been doing by playing those two safeties so far away from the line of scrimmage is, okay, we won't throw it past the safeties. We'll throw it in front of the safeties, and then good luck tackling this guy. Good luck keeping up with him. Like, there is just hard. It's hard to keep track of Tutu Atwell. It's hard to keep track of Josh Downs. It's hard to keep track of Wandale Robinson. They're just small and fast and shifty. And Downs really fits that same archetype. Anthony Richardson is not going to play this weekend, and I think Downs will probably be the biggest beneficiary of that passing volume, and he's good leverage there on Tank Dell.
All right, let's close it out with the tight end position. We said it would be tough going into the season. It's even tougher than we thought. Mark Andrews, 6,000 for the Baltimore Ravens. You know, clearly he and Kelsey at the top options. Zach Ertz, Arizona's 3,500. Dalton Kincaid, 3,400. It feels like you're guessing, Davis. It's just not you personally. It just feels like we are all guessing at tight end. Just, you know, pray for four catches, 40 yards from some of these guys.
We are completely guessing, and that is what I'm highlighting here. Ertz will be a little bit popular, but Andrews will not be popular. I mean, there's game environment concerns, there's volume concerns there, less expensive than Kelsey, all that stuff. But Kincaid, I thought he was maybe going to be a little bit sneaky, but Dawson Knox is now listed as questionable by the Buffalo Bills. If Dawson Knox does not play, Kincaid goes from being a little bit sneaky, a guy maybe who's like 8% owned to like probably the most popular guy at tight end. He's been targeted on 26% of the routes that he has run this year. You know, the Bills are totally validating everything they said about him in the offseason about how good he is. So, but a tight end, I mean, Craig, we're all just guessing. It's a miserable position for fantasy.
Yeah. It's been tough to start anybody at tight end this year, so good luck with that. All right, coming up next, we'll tell you what's coming up in hour two of our show, and then in the second hour, at the top of the hour, we'll have some early season overreactions from Davis and me. We'll be right back. Right away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, everyone, we are wrapping up hour one here on the program, getting ready to hop into hour two. Davis Maddock and Craig Mish with you here on Fantasy Sports Today. We've got our full week three NFL breakdown, going through game by game, hitting all the important fantasy football angles. Of course, we are going to do fantasy or reality and the Sports Grid 60, really everything that you need to get your fantasy football teams in order for week three of the 2023 football season. Craig and I have got you covered. Before we head into hour two, I do want to remind you guys about also the freshly updated Sports Grid Fantasy Football app. Our developers and our team at Sports Grid have been working hard to develop the best sports betting complement app in the game. We've launched the Sports Grid app on the App Store and the Google Play Store. So iPhone, Android, both are eligible to get in there. You can get caught up on anything that you've missed throughout the day here on the network or in the leagues, right? You can create a personalized feed for anyone that you love here on Sports Grid. You can follow me, you can follow Craig, you can follow Scott Farrell, you can follow Carver High, really anyone that you want, but also the leagues that you love. So maybe you're a big basketball guy, you don't care that much about baseball. Maybe you're a huge football guy, you're watching Fantasy Sports Today on a Saturday morning, but you don't really care that much about college football or the NBA. You can get all of that. You can dive into matchup previews for every game, search through Sports Grid projections, line movements, injuries, and everything that you need to know to make a wager. And then when the games go live, you can see all the latest odds, scores, and stats. The perfect complement to all the insights that are available on sportsgrid.com are now available on the SportsGrid app. You can get it on the iPhone or the Android. Make sure that you are downloading that little QR code flash there on the screen. Make it easy. You can search SportsGrid there. We are about to end hour one here on the program. Got some overreactions in the early NFL season coming up. Of course, we're going to talk about Puka Nacua. I'm going to give some hot takes about what happened if you drafted a running back not named Christian McCaffrey or Tony Pollard in your fantasy football league early. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid with me and Craig Mish. We're going to go ahead and run at the break. It's smarter to be on SportsGrid.